Let's go to Luis Bermudez and discussion on the Ocean Semantic Mediator. Last year, Luis did a presentation on some of the work that was being done then, and I guess this will be an update. Luis is a lead for coastal oceans research with the Southeastern University's Research Association and is working with ontologies and semantics in the oceans environment.
Better? So I need to go back and repeat everything? No. So we need to know how our sensors identify wave height, chlorophyll fluorometer, harmful hydrocarbons, all these terms. How do we identify them? How do we relate them? So again, presenting this night, this is community of practice. We all speak different languages. And this is an example, different representations for one concept. Or even, there's SST, and you could have super transport SST, so it means two different things. And here, in a metadata level also, if you have one community that has metadata, for example, using CDM is the content data model used by atmospheric community. This is an ontology representation of those metadata instances. You will see that if some folks are talking about CDM variables, or others are talking about observed properties. So at that metadata level, how do you really connect these two different representations? So look, why don't we do semantic mediation? You have two communities. Hey, let's put one piece of the puzzle together so we are able to interact with these two communities. There are different ways to map, right? You can say there's same as, subclass, this type of, narrower than any other type of relations, but the idea is that you have two well-established control vocabularies published that you can interact because they are in the same way in Excel or, you know, whatever, but at least it's the same tool that I'm going to use to create those relations. And then if a community selects one ontology to interoperate, meaning, oh, yes, we're going to map to this ontology. And I think this ontology for features is good, or this ontology for units is good. Let's all use it inside that community. And then we start making this, because that community agrees on this unit ontology, this other community agrees on another unit ontology, and then we can easily just point to God all at the same time. So, semantic mediator. And this is sort of the semantic, the service-oriented architecture where you have different sources. You have here some middleware, then you have decision support tools. Very important is the service registry. You have a semantic mediator that is parallel to the service registry. And so this is a little more detail where within the semantic mediator has different components like vocabulary builder, creates vocabulary even for simple taxonomy. And then there is an ontology registry, and then it's a semantic engine that gets these ontologies and put it in a big graph so then others could query it. For example, faceted search, catalog, etc. So now let's talk about a specific ontology registry and repository, which is the MMI created one. It's a real tool. It's on the web. It's free for everyone to use. It's based on the bio portal. So you can create an ontology, you can register a new ontology, you can upload a new ontology. It's very interesting that there is some metadata attached to that ontology. For example, here, you can even put some license permission issues. We keep track automatic versioning and revision of these ontologies. So this is part of, you know, somehow governance and how they're going to do it will be different to the updates. So we all handle that. And if you don't have, like here, if you don't have these dates and you just don't use the date, you can get the latest automatically. So we have also worked on that part. So previous mappings to other parties will not break. You can browse. So I don't know right now how many ontologies we have, but I think more than 100. But people just are submitting and are mapping. I'm going to use a mapping, show a mapping slide later. You can get the RDF, right? You can use the SparkQL queries. So there is an endpoint SparkQL for HTTP GET POST. There is a form that you can just play with SparkQL constructs if you are not very familiar with the SparkQL query language. And again, you get back this RDF. You can see that there is an ODC URN, right? So now it's handling URNs. Before, we were only handling URIs. So now there is a way to also provide services for URNs. And this is how you can get them. And then we have tools that allow easy mapping. And easy mapping is that in our community, we found out that in order to interpret, we don't need a lot of sophisticated old constructs. That for most of the cases, if we have a list of parameters that one community publishes and a list of parameters that another community publishes, we put that in a language that we are able to interpret. This is ours. And then we make mappings. And here the mappings are available as RS. So we bring one ontology here. So once they are registered on ontology, just add an ontology. We search for in either of the forms. You can do regular expressions to get, for example, to query on the description of each term. And you create the mappings. That mapping is registered in the repository, and then you can access via SparkQL the mappings. So you can say, give me all the narrower terms than X or broader terms. So please give feedback to the MMI registry if you want to use it. So this is the link, mmisw.org. MMI also collaborates with OOR, Open Ontology Repository, and with BioPortal. Now, I'm going to briefly discuss some of the projects that we are using this semantic mediation approach. First is the OOR Ocean Observatory Initiative. It's about $300 million project NSF, where they're going to put observatories in different regions of the world. Very sophisticated observatories. This is, for example, high-definition cameras under the sea connected by high-bandwidth cables. These cameras turn on when something is happening. They will try by sensing, they will try to understand how big is the animal that they're sensing, if it is of interest, and start the video capturing. And there is a semantic framework prototype, which I'm leading. And these are some of the main components that we are testing. So we have a semantic registry repository, the MMI one. We have a harvester that converts the metadata instances to OWL. We have a faceted browser, which is also built on ontologies. We have metadata registry and a semantic media wiki, which allow the community to see the ontologies in a nice way, to submit comments, to make changes, to add rules, etc. We have sequence diagrams, and there are links to the page of how these different components interact. For example, here you can see that there's a facet user interface that say, hey, MMIOR, please give me the facets, yes. And then I go to the registry, which is Iberian, please give me the records. The Iberian checks its knowledge base. So all that we are testing to see how metadata registries and ontologies work. And this project is to reduce the risk of technologies that we're going to use at the OI. The International Coastal Atlas Network, which next meeting is in Italy next week, in Trieste. I'm very happy to be there. And we have different atlases which are publishing, again, also using ODC services. This is WMS, the Agile Network. So each map is registered in a record which is published via an ISO record, and that ISO record is tagged with keywords that can be found in ontology, so this can be all related. This is sort of the architecture. So there is a central icon ontology. Each participant, they have their own ontology, they create mappings, and the data is available via standardized services. So you can see here, for example, how we use global themes, and all the ontologies are based on the main ISO categories, ISO 1 and 115. I'm going through it very fast because I figured out that we are hungry. At least I am hungry. So if I'm going too fast, I would say, hey, stop. And another interesting thing is annotation of services. So before, keywords, for example, only allow string, simple string. Now we are seeing that even in ISO, 19139 and in SOS, Sensor Observation Services, you are allowed to tap services with your eyes, which provide rich thematic content. So that's another trend that we're trying to capture. Sometimes this is called thematic annotation. Another project is the OGC Ocean Science Interpretive Experiment, which is in reaching phase two right now. So it's a world initiative to try to advance sensor observation services. Within that, we define an observation based on O&M, so an observation of a procedure, estimation value, property of future features, all those concepts lead an ontology. So we have a group working on a procedure ontology or future of interest ontology, on types of results ontologies, etc. So, for example, you can create a graph like this. The observation well, it's a water-based platform, and there's a URI identifying that a moored buoy is a water-based platform, so water temperature as a unique identifier, all those lead an ontology, and you can relate all these. Again, important semantic annotation in web services. This is an example of SOS. And the Arctic is very similar. You have a service registry. You have a semantic mediator. Have a data provider register the vocabulary, register the mapping. And then the data user or the services that are using those services could use the semantic mediator to get the different mappings, ontologies, vocabularies, rules, etc. And we have a user interface that it's able to categorize all the different sensor observations. We have about 1,000 platforms, and these are, let's say, standard variables that integrated ocean observing systems, NOAA, has defined and say, hey, these are the core variables that we need to concentrate on these years. Okay, so let's define an ontology, and let's create a little facet search that is able to categorize the services with these core variables, which are very important to know. So we want to know which platforms are providing seawater temperature. So you can see, and this is just for the purpose of showing, that it's mapping to all these terms that are being used inside SOS. And we're using ontologies to map those. So the faceted search tool is able to categorize those services. Also within this project, the Ocean Science Interpretive Experiment, we have created a simple, easy SensorML web creator. So we find out that, well, SensorML is very complex. It's a standard that is used to describe SensorML, sensors, platforms, systems. And we create a user interface, and then the user interface is attached with vocabularies that live at MMI. So whenever you are describing your sensor, you will get a drop-down list of, okay, now, fill your variable. So we are fixing the problem from the start. Okay, use control vocabulary when you are creating the SensorML description. And even we have sensor manufacturers in the Arabic community that are buying to this idea and are, you know, using some of these tools because they're asking, hey, we want to create a SensorML, please give us a tool. So this is like my view of what I would like to see at the end. This is, you know, a portal that has a lot of different facets, data, numerical models, publication, photos, images, and it's categorized here. You can see a picture. All that information is integrated. And so you can think that those are facets. And you can, for example, the publications that refer to a region. Of course, this example could extrapolate to any other domain. But, you know, that's sort of the idea that I think ontologies will do good in trying to integrate and categorize all these data for faceted rows or for workflow composition or whatever. So conclusion, and I think I really did this very fast. So one, services responses need to be semantically annotated one way or another, and at some point needs to be converted to ontology graphs. Maybe part of it, maybe all of it, but in order to provide inference and to provide categorization of services, this needs to be done. Ontology registry is key, even if you have it in an informal way where it's a graph that is sitting there somewhere, but it helps facilitate, share, publish, access, and resolve URIs. And important also, resolve URNs, which the resolvability of URNs are not that easy. Different components are needed So it's better to not have like all the harvester and all of those components in one tool. But I think it's good if we have different components. We have metadata registry, we have harvester, we have user interface, workflow tools, and we identify them early on and we put it in our service architecture. And then, you know, by sequence diagrams or whatever, we understand what services, interfaces, operations we need for these different components to communicate each other. And then I think communities of practice need to select common qualities that they need to share. So right at the beginning, you say, let's say you have a prototype and you have two communities and you want to integrate them. Well, you need to map their terminology to something, either select their ontology, or a third ontology, and start to create mapping. You need to do that. You need to select one. Doesn't matter. Yes, select it for the purpose of satisfying the user need. If the user needs, says, well, I really need to discover if there are harmful attributes in this region. Okay, decompose the use case, create an ontology that only captures what the user at the end wants, and then map to that metadata terms and the data that, you know, different communities are using. And I think that's all. These are the different links. And this is my email if you need more information.
Thank you, Louise.